NKST Mission Retreat Media presents the Gospel, God's Power to Save All Who Believe. This workshop was delivered by Dr. Solomon Zevi at the NKST Mission Retreat Camp 2021 on the topic, Exploring Business Opportunities Around Your Environment. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
We have so far. We also trust you that in this segment, this session, you continue with us. The word records that no one had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and remained the same. Because of this camp and because of even this segment, as you interact with us, as you instruct us, may our lives not remain the same. For this we pray and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank God for the opportunity to be in His presence this hour. The topic given to me to share with us is not something new to us, but as we are beginning, let's read Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And then let us also turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll start reading from verse 8. I'm just hinted now that I have 1 hour for the talk, so it's more of a business segment, not a preaching segment. So let's first read Hebrews chapter 13. I read verse 5 and verse 6. Let your conversation lifestyle be without covetousness. In the sense, covetousness is idolatry. But be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Philippians chapter 4, let's start from verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am there to be content. I know how both how to abase, to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthen me. Praise the Lord. The Lord give us direction in Jesus' name. The topic given to me by the leadership mission retreat to discuss in this camp is exploring the business opportunities or exploring the businesses in our environment. But I don't think I'll be listing this and that. And that, you have to sell this, you have to sell that. I will try to narrate my own story, the story of my own life, and then at different junctions, I will stop and then stress some points. I'm a young person. My name is Ngutu Solomon Zevi. I was born about 34 years ago, February 20th, 1987. I'm just 34. And I was born into the family of Mr. and Mrs. Zivi. They are both civil servants, now retired. I grew up in an average home, a civil servant home. And in growing up, I saw how my parents were trying to make means end, make ends meet. How they were struggling pay my school fees, struggling to provide food. My mother will farm. We might will go to farm and then get food so that we'll have something to eat in the house. And I went through primary school in my neighborhood, see my father trekking from one end to the other. I saw how he struggled to get a bike for himself. And my mother also struggled later on to get a bike for herself. And I saw the chain progress this way, and I entered secondary school. I still see how we struggle through school in terms of the basic things. You see how people are doing very well, but still, we're getting the little that was coming our way. God was helping us, and we pushed on. And I see that some of us are in that stage now. We're in secondary school, and things are not the way they should be. But when I came to SS1, I went to Special Science Secondary School in Unagric Road, Book and North Bank. That I didn't like, I hated my situation. I hated what I was going through. Not because I was aspiring for the things of this life necessarily. But I just thought, Solomon, this is not the path, or this is not how you continue in life. That everything that comes, everything you want in life, you are depending on your father, your earthly father here providing it. Everything that you want, you are depending on your heavenly father providing, your earthly father providing it. And what did I do? I now started looking within. And I started trusting God to think. And I will stop to tell us that one of the things that will help you as a young person in life, the most important thing in our lives as Christians is for us to give our life to Christ. And I believe, and I will also assume that being in this camp, you are a believer or you're a Christian. I'm assuming that when you give your life to Christ, Christ has promised us one thing, that He who, Romans 10:11 says, whoever has a son has life. Sorry. Jesus never disappoints those who trust in him. So I said, if I'm a child of God and I've given my life to him, I gave my life to Christ while in Special Science. And I said, if I have given my life to Christ, I'm walking with him. He has promised me that he will not disappoint me, not just of the things of the kingdom, but even the things of this life. And the word of God, God means think. And I started thinking, how can I survive? How can I take care of my basic needs and not depend on my father, my mother? And that is how I started selling shirts in school. And I started that in SS2. As of that time, I used to buy this shirt for 80, 100 naira. You buy sometimes 200 naira. So in Special Science, we're using whites like this. So sometimes most people or most boys would prefer buying the ready-made white that was from Wadata Market. So during weekends, I'll take permission. I'll go home. And during holidays, I'll select all the whites. I'll go to Bend Down. They used to call it Bend Down. And we all know that it's still Bend Down. You go select these whites, and then wash them well and iron them, and come back in school and sell them as much as 500 naira. I was buying them for 150 to 250 max, and then selling them at 500 naira. So I started trading. I was only doing this when we're on break or during weekends. We'll have a holiday, and I decided to go home for weekend. But majorly, every Saturday, I will not miss Wadata Market, so that I can select and wash them and iron, so that when we resume back to school, I'll be able to take care of my needs. And it went on for some time, and I left secondary school. When I left secondary school, I saw what my mom was doing. She was trading. A normal civil servant who is trying to see that, as they try to make ends meet, she was doing small pottery. And I said, Mommy, how can I help you? She said, she'll bring 50 birds. I'll take care of those birds, and then we'll sell them. So one of the times she was bringing the birds, I now said, Mommy, can I also bring my own? And I introduced 12, 16 cockerels. and then some few broilers. And after, because I was taking care of the birds, she assisted me and I fed the birds with at no charge. So when I sold it, I won't forget, when I sold my birds that time, I realized 32,000 naira some years ago. And when I realized that 32,000, I said, okay, me on my own also, I can start my own small farm and not depend on my mother, or not depend on her to feed my birds. So I brought in my own birds at my own terms and started taking care of them with the little money I had. And this really woke me up. I said, and I look around. I said, what will I specialize in that will help me continue this small trade I started? And that's how I got myself to the university. I wrote down, got this course, applied to bird medicine, and I got myself to read bird medicine in Unagri, where our daddy here chaired us, nurtured us in the Department of Vet Medicine, and later became the VC where he headed the affairs of the university. So I went to the university, but one thing I want to stop for us to think about is, don't be contented with where you are in terms of saying, you, Puawo Kumo, or what you have now, you are contented with it because you have a father or you have a mother that is providing for you. See where I read. The contentment God Paul had was only in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus helped him to understand that, see, even when you don't have so much, the things of this life, be content with it. And even when you have so much, also be content with it. And that contentment that Paul was taught, it is only Christ that will teach you that contentment. And later on, as I'll tell you at the end of this, of my story, I'll tell you that there's something they call sudden wealth syndrome. So, if you are not contented with what you have now, if Christ doesn't teach you that the little you have now, you have to manage it very well. You have to be content with it. When you have so much, you miss your road. And that's why you see most brothers or sisters saying, this brother did not have any money. When he got money, we've lost him. And then you see some people saying, I had this, my cousin, when he was poor, as in we were friends or we're close, but now that he's a rich man, we have lost him. So you have to learn this, in that the little you have, the little I had as a young boy growing up in secondary school, the little money I had, I was not thinking about this and that. All I was thinking about, how can I multiply this as and then meet my basic needs that God wants me to meet. And that is how I started. So when I entered the university, I said, how can I also not depend on my father and mother to take care of my needs in school? Because knowing where my parents were, the background of my parents, I said, how can I do that? And I started associating with a young man who is an Igbo man who was selling bread in town. I went to him and said, okay, how can I sell this bread in school? One of the things you have to do as a young person is you have to keep thinking. Don't be contented with just what where you are. And when I say that, I'm not confusing us to say that we should be that the Bible says we should content. I'm talking of don't be satisfied with where you are, that you have this and that, or you have this degree or that degree, so you cannot look outside. And don't just remain where you are, but keep thinking and thinking that how can you make, because the goal of a Christian is not just for himself. If you read the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul said something that I want us to, wow, he said, these hands of mine I have used them to work to feed myself and those around me. Meaning that if you are successful, or if you become a good business person, or God has blessed you one thing or another, it's not just for yourself, but it's also to help. For Paul, he said, it was to help his companions and those who were weak.
And he reminded himself by saying that it is more blessed that the Lord Jesus Christ has said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So one of the things that came to mind as a young Christian, as a young believer was that we had so many requests or so many help, so many messages coming in from FCS headquarters and so many quarters that you need to give for the work of the Lord. I remember those days, Z World Bible College, sending us emails and they keep asking for requests for the support of the work. And I asked myself, how can I support this work if basically even what my parents are giving me is not satisfied? I can't live on the little they were giving me because of the basic needs that were coming up, the things that the university was requesting, that I need to get this, I need to get this, I need to get their certain kids and all of that. So I said, what can I do to add the income that was coming from my parents? And that's how I concluded to say, let me sell bread in the university. And friends, that is how those who went to UNAGRI, they know Block C. I started selling bread in the university in my second year. And I was making 10 naira from selling bread. I'll buy bread. The woman will supply me bread at 40 naira and I'll sell at 50 naira and make 10 naira. She started with supplying me 50 loaves of bread. And when she supplies 50 loaves of bread, I'll sell and make 500 naira in the university. I know that one of the questions that some young people will ask is that where did you get the money? I'll also pause to tell us, Jesus said something in Luke chapter 16. Any man who is faithful in that thing which is little will also be faithful in much. And it means that if you don't live your life as a Christian, or if you don't live your life in your neighborhood for men or people to see that you are a son or you are a daughter of integrity, or you are a person that you are not just professing that you are a Christian, but you are actually living the life. And if men not see your fruits, to see, not as if men are seeing your fruit to make you happy or make you proud. But if men don't see Christ in your life, they find it difficult to commit certain things into your hands. And when I said that, the evil man that was relating with, that was far, far older than me, he was the one that shouted me and said, madam, give this young man bread. As he's selling the bread, he will pay back. He will not eat your money. So the woman will carry her bread from high level, those who know, around Zenith Bank. The woman who carried her bread and come and deliver to me in UNAGRI, I'll collect it and sell and make 10 naira. From making 10 naira for 50 loaves, she started supplying me 70 loaves. I was making 700. I remember consistently for some time, I was making 21,000 naira in school as a student. And in making 21,000 naira, the thing increased that I was making 30,000 naira because the time came when I was selling 100 loaves in a day. Those who went to boarding schools or the university, like UNAGRI, will know that boys eat a lot. And as I was selling, I was keeping the money and reinvesting. And I was doing that, God also opened my eyes to start selling wristwatches. So in the university, as I was selling bread, remember that in all of this, I was still a veterinary student in training. So I was selling loaves of bread in the university. I started collecting these watches from the malam. And how did I start selling watches? A young man gave me a watch. And when I bought the watch, my neighbor said, Solomon, I love your watch. And I said, okay, I can get it for you. I remember I got the watch for 1,250 naira. And when I got the watch for 1,250 naira, I sold it for 2,500 naira. I made 100% profit. I know some people are already saying that this one, is he a believer? So I made 1,250 naira, which was 100% profit. And I then told the madam, I said, how can I be getting these watches? He said, Solomon, I can give you some small watches. Go and sell. I didn't know him from anywhere. Go and sell and then bring back the cost price. And that is how the man who didn't know me, but entrusted some few watches into my hands. I went and sold, and then I brought back the change, brought back the cost price. And that principle Jesus said, which if you go back, you can go and study, is the principle that I normally talk to young people, even in my office. Luke chapter 16, you can start reading from verse 1 to verse 13. But the principle Jesus drew out after the story of the unfaithful accountant, the first principle was, if you are not faithful in what is little, in little things, you cannot be faithful in much. And then the other principle is that if you are not faithful in the things of this life, who will give you the things of the kingdom? The things that we are all engaged in, the gospel. Who will give you, who will entrust that into your hands? And then the last principle says, if you are not faithful in what belongs to another man, who will give you your own? Or who will bless you with your own? So that is how I sold, brothers and sisters, in the university, I sold more than 2,000 watches. And while I was in the university, I saw the frustration of my seniors. I saw the frustration of the environment. I saw the frustration that people were graduating and coming back looking for jobs. I saw the frustration that I had cousins who had graduated from the university and were looking for one job or the other. And I told myself, Lord, please, this is not for what you are calling me for what you want me to do for the kingdom. I won't enter, you will not allow me to enter this frustration. So when I was in 400 level in vet medicine in the university, I now said, God, please direct me on what exactly I will do. And the Lord pushed me to undergo mentorship, a man, Danny Vett, in Joss. And when I served under this young man as for internship, I saw what he was doing. I saw how the techniques, it was not just about the theoretical vet medicine. I saw the practicality of it. I saw how he could translate it to impacting an environment. And by impacting an environment and human lives, how it in turn brought in cash to his pocket. So when I came back, I said, God, you said the children of Issachar understood the times, what Israel ought to do per time. So now I have seen that the world is frustrated and we, and God is telling you and me today that times have changed. When our parents were in the university, when they went to school, when they graduate, the jobs are already there waiting for them. When they graduate, they give them a car or give them a house. But times have changed that now young people graduate from the university and they are frustrated. Young people graduate from higher institutions, polytechnics, NC, there's no job for them to do. So I said, God, how will I start? So I'll pause also to tell us that it's not about just exploring for the opportunities around us. I can mention 2,000 opportunities around us. But if there are basic things you don't understand, you will not be able to start. And you will not be able to do anything. You will not be able to capture these opportunities and then roll with them. But I will pause to tell us that just like the Bible teaches us about discipleship, and we have embraced it and we are running with it. Even in the business world, you have to be discipled. You have to be mentored. You have to be taught basic things. As I said, when I was selling bread, I learned a lot from the woman. She told me, Solomon, this is how you preserve the bread. When I was selling these watches, I learned a lot from the malam. He said, Solomon, this is how you categorize your watches and do this and do that. This is how you manage. So I was being mentored unknowingly or knowingly. There are certain ways they were mentoring me that they didn't know that they were mentoring me, but they were teaching me on how to sell. When I'm saying all these beautiful stories, I know a question will come up at the end that, is it that you didn't have any setbacks and all of that? But maybe let me throw people into the why this thing by not telling people the setback until maybe a question comes up. But you will see that as you're going through this, you are learning. When you have a mentor or when you have a discipler, it's not necessarily that the person has gone through pains or certain things in life, then you should also go through those same pains. But if you follow your discipler, a Christian discipler, and see, and you have go to, you see you are going through certain challenges, the person will guide you and tell you, brother, my brother, or my son, or my daughter, when I was at your age, this is the mistake I did, and this is where it resulted me to. But God helped me through. Please, don't follow this path that leads to destruction, or don't have the setbacks that I had. So, in whatever you have, God has placed on your heart that you ought to do, you have to identify who is a master, who has masters in that area. And when I say masters, not necessarily who has mastery in that area, not necessarily masters in school. Well, who and who is doing that in which you intend to do? Who and who is doing that in which you want to do in life? And you want to, and you want to understand the basics or the nitty-gritty of that trade or that investment or that program. And when I say that, when I'm talking to young people, I always say, I don't want to be selfish to say every man should come and be a businessman like me. But even when you, if you want to further in academics, there are certain things that you need to know now. That I was talking to young people some weeks ago, and I told them, how many people are planning to travel abroad? You're in 500 level in event medicine. I said, how many people are trying to go out of the country for programs and the rest? He said, some people raised their hands. And I said, how many of you have your international passport? And in that class, only one person had an international passport. And none of them is less than 24 in that class. I said, how can you want to leave this country for greener pastures or for other this and then, or for academics? Since you say this is the interest you want, this is where you want to further, or this is your calling. And at that time, you don't have your international passport. What does it take for you to further your academics in this area in research? So who and who is in that area? I was talking to a young man who's also a brother yesterday. He just came back from Russia and he was in my office to see me. We've been interacting since he traveled. I got to know that there are so many scholarships that even undergraduates can be part of for free. And I also got to know that there are more than 20 students in the country because of COVID-19 who they are taking their scholarship programs. And as they're taking their scholarship programs, those programs, they are paying them even in Nigeria. That's true. This young man I was talking to, I got to know that there's nothing I got to know about the bioinformatics. Those who are maybe in statistics will hear about it. And he was trying to explain it to me and told me how even me as a vet doctor, that is where the world is going. He was telling me about genomes and sequencing and amino acid, blah, 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 blah. But what am I trying to say? If you want to, and this young man single-handedly has formed a foundation, and this young man single-handedly is helping, there's a brother who is in Israel. I guess some people who are brothers here who interact with these people will know the person I'm talking about. He is single-handed with that vision. He's helping young people. So if your plans or if God is leading you that you should go into research, can you now start keying to associate with such a person? If God is leading you to be a tailor or a fashion designer, are you identifying that person in your life now so that there are certain basics you start learning as a young man? So I started learning the practicality of vet medicine when I was in school. And when I started learning it, God started opening my eyes. And even while I was a student, or as I was still in school, I said I was not going to join my seniors who were graduated or who had graduated and still came back frustrated and now opened an outlet as a student. And now opened an outlet for myself. I opened it and then employed the young girl that was working there. So the whole Monday to start to Friday, you won't see me in there. It happened the second semester of my 400 level. So in 500 level in vet medicine, we stay off campus. So I started going from home. So Monday to Friday, I'll be in school. Saturdays, I'll come to school. I'll comb the whole of Makurdi. If there's any services you want me to offer, technical services, how to give basic, then they've taught me in school how to give basic vaccines. My mentor that did internship also taught me some basic injections and all of that, which was quackery anyway, because I had not graduated. So, basic things to do. So, basic advices on how to manage births, and the number of feeders should be the same with number of drinkers, this and that. I started combing the town of Makurdi. I'll go, once I hear that there's a farm here, I'll go and locate you. And see, anytime you need services or you need help for this and that, I'll come and help you. And naturally, 85% of the services I was giving them was free. But I just wanted to get acquainted with my studies. I wanted to just get acquainted with my area. I just wanted to get to know more and more practically of my field, not just getting the theoretical knowledge and then in practice, I'll be a failure. And that's how I grew from having that, as in, I grew the business, I grew my private practice, and then I left the university. I opened my first office, opened the second one, opened the third one. So when I was in service, I already had my three offices running. I grew from having one staff to having 18 staff. But in all this story, the things I want us to get. One, if you are faithful in little things, you can start from selling bread. I skipped something. In selling wristwatches, I'm selling bread in university. I started doing contribution with people who were in UNARIG. Those who went to UNARIG will know Mrs. Yana and Mrs. Ayate. That's not the VC Ayate. The other one that was all these women, Mrs. Mamo and the rest. They were the ones I was selling these watches to these women and all of that. So I got to understand that they were doing contributions as of then, 30,000. So as a student that was coming from the background that there was no funds, I started selling bread. I started selling these watches. I started doing contribution with people who were working. And as far back as 2008, I was already doing a contribution of 30,000. So when I did the 30,000, when it was my turn, because I was a student, they were scared. Maybe I won't be able to meet up. But I did it when it was my, I think I was the last person in that adashi. I collected 240,000, I won't forget. So I paid for my office. My first office, paid for it, bought the chairs, bought the work clock, did the basic things, and then I didn't have any money. And when I didn't have any money, I interacted with some people while I was moving on doing this and that. I interacted with some people who were doing the business before me. I said, how can I get drugs? How can I get some basic things? They now told me, oh, there are companies that can give you products and when you collect the products, you sell and then you pay them back. But I still didn't believe. So when I collected my first consignment, I remember I carried 36,000 in my pocket to go and pay. The man said, no, he's just a conveyor. He's just bringing the way B. And that is how I started. So when you start small, no matter how little it is, anything that God has placed in your hands, but as I said, it is the Spirit of God in man that opens your mind and don't harden your heart as some people are doing. When God lays something on your heart, pick it up and pursue it. But all, remember, is to the glory of the Almighty. So when God lays, so don't streamline yourself that you are in this department or you are in that department or you are in this field or that field. So that's why I said, I can't tell you that, oh, narrow yourself to only vet medicine because you're a vet doctor. Remember, a vet doctor standing now, I started selling bread. And I didn't mention maybe the other things. Anything that is sellable, I've sold. I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing I've not sold. I've sold oranges. I know how to, and then anything that they say a young man can learn, as of the time I was growing up younger than now, I've learned it. I know how to make liquid soap and I've sold. I know how to make popcorn, and I've done it. When I was doing my project work, I went to a house, and NYC Copper was serving there, and he was turning popcorn. So I said, I'm interested. I came and paid and learned how to make popcorn. And I bought the machine from him when he was leaving, and I started producing popcorn and sealing it and supplying at supermarkets. Chin-chin. I went to a house, they were doing chin-chin. I said, I like the chin-chin. How can I go to the training? I went to the training. I was selling chin-chin as to supermarkets, Titus West, and the rest. I went to the house. They served me a good drink, and the lady said it was carrot drink. I said, okay, how can I? She said, I can go through the course. And what did I do? I went through the course of baking and cooking vegetable soup, or ha, and all those soups you think about. And selling bread. So so anything that is learnable. So I won't be able to tell you, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. But God, as you are working with God, you see God leading you on what? And all these things are not in vain. Despite most of the things I have learned, I'm not doing them myself, but I've tried to mentor other people or teach other people to see how they can run with this. So don't restrict yourself as a young person. Don't narrow yourself and say, all hope is lost because I am not doing this, because I am not doing that. And you see God himself helping you, because the word of God tells us, you see the book of Job, the elders have spoken and they were messing up Job and making him feel bad. But the young man, I think Job chapter 32 verse 10 said, he has come to understand that the understanding of men comes from God. It is not whether you are old or whether you are a professional or whether you are this and that. It is just God that gives. And I've observed that most of us who say we are Christians have narrowed ourselves, that even when God is opening our eyes to certain truths, we close those gaps. And Paul also writing to a young man called Timothy said, the Holy Scripture is open to make you wise. So I believe that God's word, I believe that a man who has Christ, a young boy or a young girl who is working with the Lord, God opens their eyes to certain truths. God opened their eyes to what they should do at every given point in time. So when God opens your eyes, don't close your mind. So for me, I don't close my mind when God has opened my eyes. If God opened my eyes to this opportunity, I explore it, I look at it, and then I see how can I develop on it. When God opened my eyes to this opportunity, I explore it and see how can I work with it. So, brothers and sisters, there are many opportunities in our environment. You just have to wake up. You just have to, they said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man. So, don't think low of yourself. Don't think frustrated. Don't think that it is not possible for you to do certain things. Don't think that God, some people are blessed more than others. Or you feel that God has favored other people more than others. Just think as a Christian that God is working, that God is building, and God is growing. Open your mind, the Lord. You have said, you bless the work of my hands. And don't be like the Thessalonians Christians, that when Paul had preached to them and men have preached to them and said, see, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, they all dropped everything and went back, folded their hands, and said that they were no longer working because Christ was coming tomorrow. And because Christ was coming tomorrow, they were not going to do anything. Because they gave their life to Christ, and they were going to heaven. And Paul wrote to them again, rebuking them. And that is where you see the verse that says, I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul said, any man who doesn't work should not work. But when you talk to young believers or when you talk to young friends that you are not working, you are not doing anything, so this will not come to you. They'll say, you are wicked. That brother has money. He doesn't want to help anybody. Blah, 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 this and that. So as young people, God has given you your hands and he has given you a good heart, has given you a pure mind for you to walk here on earth. And the working on here on earth is for him to bless you. And when he blesses you, it's not for yourself. My wealth or what God has given me, it is not for myself, but it's for his use. So a man who thinks that when he acquires this and that, and a man who has not given himself and yielded himself in the Lord to understand the dynamics or the mystery behind wealth, can just come into wealth. Which I was saying, I'll bring it at the end of my discussion. What they call sudden wealth syndrome. If you don't train your mind and to have your contentment in God, but you have your contentment in the world, or you desire to be this, you desire to have this world, or you desire to have that world. Like as I was a young man, I desire so many things. Even as my age now, I'm still desiring so many things. But if your desires and your aspirations and the things you want in life, it is for yourself. The Lord knows. And the Bible tells us, the Lord knows those who are His. And the Bible tells us, Jesus in the teaching said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, and they shall see God. And they will not just see God in His fullness, but they will see God in their day-to-day life. So when you see a man who God is blessing, when you see a man who is doing exploit for God, it's not just that he's a Christian, but he's pure in heart. And because he's pure in heart, Jesus said he will see God. And because he has seen God, God makes way for him. And God opens his eyes. And God reveals certain truths that he will reveal to others. So you will not be wondering that why is that this man is blessed this way. You will not be wondering. But God has seen the heart and knows that this man, or this my son, or this my daughter, when such a person is blessed, it is not for himself, but it is for his glory. So, let us not claim that we have pure hearts. Because if a man has pure hearts, or if you, as Jesus said, blessed are the pure in hearts, they will see God. When a man sees God, it affects every area of his life. If you see God in your life, Jesus says something, that if a man knows the truth, and if you receive the truth in your life, it sets you free. And it doesn't set you free just from the bondage of the enemy, or the bondage of this world, or from sin. It also sets you free from life. So, brothers and sisters, young boys and young girls, ladies and gentlemen, friends, in your own life, we have these opportunities abounding with us. Don't claim that you are set free. Or don't be proud that you know so much about the scriptures. Or don't be proud that you know so much about God. The Bible tells us in Psalm, David said something that really touches me, that he was young, but now he is old. And these are the scriptures, just like our brother was saying, I just came in when he was saying that. These scriptures are there for us to apply them, for us to believe. Jesus said, see, if you believe that this mountain will move here, meaning that you have a transformed heart, you have a transformed mind that believes that you are a child of God and God wants you to do this so it will come to pass. So as a young man, I started with selling little things, but I believed where I saw it, where God, because I knew that all of this that God is giving me, I'm returning back to Him. In my services, in my relating with men. So, please and please, let us not claim or stop claiming that we know God. And David said something, as I'm saying, that he was young, but now he is old, that he has never seen the children of the righteous beg for bread. Remember that he was not talking about the righteous. He was talking about the children of the righteous. Meaning that if a man says he's righteous, he shouldn't beg for bread. If a man says he's righteous, he shouldn't beg for bread. But he is not even talking about the righteous. He said, since he was young, now he's of age, he has never seen the children of the righteous beg for bread. And brothers and sisters, you're the key to this. And the Bible tells us that if a man is blessed, his wealth is transgenerational. It's not just for himself, but it's not just for him for the kingdom, but you see that even his children's children are blessed. So I should fault myself, even after I leave the scene, but I will be in heaven. I mean, I will see it, that my wealth starts and ends with me, or my being successful starts and ends with me, and then my being successful is just about myself and myself and myself alone. But if you say you are blessed, as Jesus said, to set us free, how many lives have you impacted? You see what Paul was doing? in his ministry, he believed that he would work with his hands and feed those who were around him. And he mentored men, young boys, who people like Titus and Timothy. And we see that even in their lives, if you check the history of Timothy, who and historians or theologians have said went on to become a bishop in Ephesus, you see that they lived a pattern of their mentor. They lived a pattern of their discipler. So Paul, even as he has studied and learned that, even if I don't have so much, I'm content. And even if I have so much, even if I have so little, I'm content. And even if I have so much, it's for the glory of the Lord. He never lacked anything. Because he believed that God will bless the work of his hands. And that's why he said, you know, brothers and sisters, that I've used these hands of mine. So, what is in your hands? What is in your hands? As he told us about the prophet, the king, for him, they say his mouth, is it three times or twice or his mouth how many times? Three times. And then the man of God who was there said, he would have smart as more, many times as. So what is in your hands that God has given you that you are refusing to use? And I weep when I drive around or move around. Like even when I was driving around town, or I tried driving to Boko. I was telling my wife, we were coming for a program at NKST Academy the last time. And I was telling my wife that I really don't understand why we are where we are, especially as a thief nation. Because when I'm driving left and right, and trust, as in that God doesn't allow me to, doesn't just bring anything to me, he brings me things that I will apply. So I was telling her, I don't understand. You go and traveling to Boko, you'll be seeing grasses left and right. And we are saying we are poor. And we are saying we don't have so much. And I told her that I was going to start a good farm. She said, means everything that you want to do. I said, no. One, it's my area. That's one. Two, I know people who are not professionals, who this is not even their area. But just by learning certain things, I know what they're doing. And when you see me with my phone, it is not for play. It is to check and check and check. Even if it is not for me, I'll help a brother about with it. Even if it is not for me, if you see me with my phone, if you see me play, it's not just to go to Facebook to go and post things. So it is that this that I'm going. So I discovered a man who was doing goat farming, and the guy was doing very well. He didn't go, he doesn't have any background to say he went to school, that. But I saw what he was doing. So that is how I started my goat farm. And I, as I tell you right now, I think I have about 50 something goats. And I told my staff that the next 5 years, what I see the man have, and I'm doing serious selection. And I was coming for a program. They invited me for a program at Akajime, NKST Akajime. And I was coming in, I was discussing this with my wife, but I could not rest. I said, we are so blessed as a nation, especially the tea people. We have grasses that people are even coming to fight us because of the grasses. But why are we not utilizing it very well? Why is it that the people in the villages, people are fighting and kidnapping their brothers? And even men, then we used to feel that villages were safe. But now, the towns are safer than the villages. And we all came from the village. We all have our roots traced to the village. But you see, when you go to these villages, which I'm trusting God that it will be our heart cry and then our pursuit to see how we can win back our villages back for Christ. Because see, men should run away from town when there's danger to their villages. But now, we are rather running away from villages to town, because when you go there, it's your village that they may even kidnap you. It's your village that they may even attack you. I'm not talking about spiritual attack, I'm talking about physical attack. Because young boys, as we know before, will farm, go to farm, we have goats to tender and take care of. But now, those things are too rubbish for them, or they are not things that they should do. But you see, if you have a mature goat in a year, if you do good selection and it's giving you 2 kids or 3 kids, give it 2-3 years. You will not need to work for any man. You will not need to work for anybody. And that is how I started my goat farming. And I'm doing it and going. And you can also ask, what start? If you start today small, because you are a child of God, because you are a Christian, God will bless the work of your hands. Those scriptures are here for us. It is us for, it's for, God has done his part. It's for me and you to also complete our own. So you can pray till tomorrow. You can say all the things you want to say till tomorrow. But if you don't key into those things that God has said in his word that we should key into, it will not come to pass in your life. But you will leave this world and go to heaven. But in this life, what God designed that you should be of influence to your neighbor, to this and that. And what Jesus said that you should, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you see, my problem is we are not thinking and we are making ourselves look so spiritual, but we are not thinking and seeing that what we profess and what we are saying, it is not in conformity to what God is saying. And the issue is that we are not stopping to pause and see. God has said in his word that this. It is not happening to my life. So what am I not doing that is right? Or what is it that I need to correct so that I'll key into all the promises that God has said in his word? So that my life will be different. When they say the children of righteous don't beg for bread, I am begging for bread even as a righteous man. So what will happen to my children if me myself am begging for bread? When the Bible is saying that the children of the righteous will not beg for bread, but me, I am begging for bread. So what happens to my children? When God is saying you bless the work of your hands, you are not identified what is in your hands. You've not asked that question. So why are you refusing to yield to what the scripture is saying? Why am I refusing to yield to what the scripture is saying? Because the scripture is saying that whatever your hands find to do, God will bless it. So you have not found what to do and you are relaxed sitting in your house. As our brother said, you may even be studying the word of God and sleep there till tomorrow. But God is saying, what is in your hands that I will bless? And as I said, when you find what is in your hands that God should bless, you will just discover that even as you're on that path, God will open your eyes to something else again. My son, my daughter, you can also do this. And I even feel that this is even better than this. The man we so aspire to be like, the man we so like his pattern of life, the Apostle Paul, we know what he was doing. He was a tent maker. But we know that his primary cause in life was the gospel. But in all of this, he remembered that, see, the Lord will bless the work of my hands. And the essence of these blessings is not just for myself. The essence of this blessing is also to help those who are around me. You see yourself. You say you're a believer. I say I'm a believer. Who are you helping around you? When the Bible, Jesus is saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. But you are receiving more than you are giving. Are you not faulting that you are not giving to the promises and what God is saying? And by that, you are not fulfilling what God wants you to do. You are receiving more than you are giving. Is that not a problem? And let's talk to ourselves. Imagine a house where we are seated. Every man is giving more than he's receiving. And not just giving, when I say giving, not just giving the things of this, not the cares of this life, but even the word of God. If every man is sincerely nurturing a life that is closed by or disciplining a life, see how blessed we'll be. And that scripture or that instructions and commandment comes with blessing. It said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And any man who is blessing more than is receiving, God keep blessing the person. And any man who is comforting the next person, Paul said, God who comforts us, as in 2 Corinthians, God who comforts us so that we can comfort others. So please, friends, as we come to the end of our talk, I feel that there are basic truths in the scriptures that we need to key into, and we are not key into. And it's affecting our lives, it's affecting our productivity. It's affecting, the other day in my church, I was telling them that
And then, you let's say, I'm a young person, but the Lord thought it wise or felt my consistory as an elder. So, go tell me in church, yeah. And I was telling them in the elders forum that for me, I feel that you shouldn't force people to give. Because I don't know, but me, as far back as when I was in Genesis 2, I remember how the little and the small that my parents were giving me, I was giving to the Lord and giving for his work. And I was not forced. So I don't know why we are forcing people to give. And I said something. I said, see, there's a problem. There's a big problem and we need to address it. And what's the problem? If you check, this is NKST Nka West. Am I right? You will discover that maybe this church, this building has been here for 10 years. Because my school, my junior secondary school is not far from here. It was my senior secondary school. I went to Spare Science. I went to Enkesting College in Car. And if my judgment is right, I may not be able to say that by the inside wall. But when I look at the fence, I'm assuming that the building was here before the fence. And if I can remember very well, KCC, and I used to pass here, this place is up to 10 years. This building should be up to 10 years. I don't know whether I have a member of the church who has stayed up to 10 years in the house. Is there anybody a member of the church, of this church, this very church? This building is up to 10 years. More than 10 years. It is wrong for us to stay in this kind of building in this dispensation. In the times we are in, it is wrong for us to stay in this kind of building in this time we are in. Because if we accept, if I'm building a house now, my house will not be like this. So if my parents built this house this way, this place shouldn't be like this. But you see, we are not seeing anything abnormal with it. We in business will call it financial intelligence. And in financial intelligence, that means you have to keep thinking and thinking and thinking and seeing opportunities and blah, blah, blah. But you see, in the church, because we are saying it is God's word and we are making it look as if, if I'm saying this now, some brothers are already condemning and saying that we are more interested in the souls than the building. But you see, I am telling you, as what comes inside also reflect what is what? It's coming from inside, but it reflects what is outside. We are not supposed to be sitting. We're all coming here, but we all have our consistories. There is a problem. And as we are seeing it as if it is not a problem, it is affecting every area of our lives. And we condemn those who I keep wondering. Me, I ask questions a lot. And I don't know whether God has also brought you to the point where you start asking those questions to yourself. Not to any man, or to yourself. So it will get you thinking and it will open you up. I keep asking, how did these people do it? Is it juju money they use? Because this church has been here for over 30 years or 25 years. And you see, a dynamic church will come just opposite us or the neighborhood here. In no time, the building will be more than this. In my neighborhood, where I fellowship, or where I've been there since 92, there's a church I came by. The other day, I saw what they did. I was shocked. I said, these people, maybe they are keen to what God has said and they're running with it. But we here, we are doing gym. But I don't know how well this gym has taken us. What did they do? The other day I was passing a shelter and I discovered my NKC church, my consistory is firm. I discovered that these people blocked the road. I said,
Who gave these people the effrontery and gave them the powers to block a whole express or government road? And nobody said anything about it. But you see, me and you, we are claiming that God has given us the what? Powers. But I don't know whether it is in heaven we will go and exhibit those powers. We are also claiming that God has given us all the wealth. But I don't know also whether it is in heaven that we go and exhibit it. So I was saying, these people, who give them those powers? But I see that peradventure, they are not getting from any source. So they may be using it against or wrongly, as we also keep telling that they are doing, but they are keen into it and God is giving them allowance. I don't know of you, but me, I'm of the opinion, and I keep saying it, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, I think chapter 1 or chapter 2 said, for him, people were against him, and they were in the turn of flesh for him. But his most important joy was that what Christ was doing, what? Preach. So, brothers and sisters, there is a fundamental problem. And I don't want to blame anybody for that fundamental problem. But as a business talk, I'm saying we have to wake up. You have to wake up. And by waking up, change your association. Change the people you interact with. Change in all of this. I didn't stress on this. Change how you relate with people, because it changed the way you think. If you have a friend that feels that this is impossible, it will be impossible. Because there's instruction of the Lord that says, if you don't believe, how can it be done to you? Jesus told the man, if you believe, it will be done to you. If you don't believe, it will not be done. So if we believe that God will liberate us from where we are to where we should be, and not for ourselves, but for the kingdom, God will take us to that level. But if we don't believe, if we belittle ourselves and look down on ourselves, God cannot take you beyond where you have seen yourself or where you want to be. And he will not force you. And that is why he means his word. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world. I don't have anything to do about it. He gave his only begotten son. I don't have anything to do about it. It is God's own love and his supremacy. That whosoever, that is where I have a role. That is where you have a role. Whosoever believe in him will be saved. But in all that God has given out, if a man doesn't believe, he's not saved. So in all that God has laid out in his word, that we will run with as Christians, as businessmen, as entrepreneurs, as successful men, as worthy men in this world, if we don't believe and run with them, we'll still remain where we are. And be like maybe the Thessalonian Christians who felt having wealth or having riches or having this was sin. So we'll keep looking up to, when in the same neighborhood, you will see you going to this your neighbor to beg. And God has told us all that we need in his word. So friends, please and please, let us cry to God. Let us go back to God and let him take us out of our villages. When I say villages, not our physical village. Let him take us where, how village we have been, and take us to where we should be as Christians for his glory. So whatever you see, the Lord lays into your hands, you see him expanding it, and expanding it. But if we don't trust God for this, you see that the next 10 years, we'll still be where we are. And if you are where you are, or if I'm where I am, I'm not aspiring for anything. I'm just there. I don't know what happens to my children. I don't know what happens to your children. But if God will not bless me, or God will not bless you, or you will not give yourself for God's blessings to say you are coming to NKC and Car West and let them do this building. God has blessed you from this, so you feel that this is what you should do for him. And this is what you do structurally. Not just only impacting souls, but for this building, your house, you are staying in a better house. You are saying, see, I'm sweating here. If I was in the Pentecostal church, maybe the AC would be cooling and you see that I can talk for 10 hours. I won't feel it. No, it's true. When I had my office and I didn't have any AC in my office and I didn't have some things to make the environment conducive, I remember how my staff were frustrated. My staff would be frustrated. They would be sweating, this and that. And now God provided for me and then I now did AC in my office. I had a dispenser. I did so many fine things and all of that. I don't know how many people have been to my office, but if you go to my office now, my staff, they don't want to close. You will not even know. I have to come and be driving them and saying, are people close? Are people close? Why? The comfort of the environment. And God has not called us to suffer all the days of our lives. What God said we should suffer is not this suffer. I don't know how to say it. it is for the kingdom. When Paul wrote to Timothy and told him, I think Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, said, and all who live godly lives will be persecuted and suffer. It is not the one we are suffering, no. I am telling you the truth. That one God has told me personally. The one we are suffering, it is not the one that God wants us to suffer. It is the one we brought on ourselves. So friends, identify what God has put in your hands. And when you identify, get a mentor. And when you get a mentor, be mentored. And you see that will not be where God will, that will just be your beginning point. As I said, I started with selling bread. I sold these watches. I've done baking work and sold some items. God took me to said I've sold shoes. I've sold easy wear. But all of this, God was building and molding me up for what He has put me now. I'm even those who know now, I've even moved from veterinary medicine. I'm still in veterinary medicine, you know, but what am I doing now? I'm doing more of even construction. So if you want to build your poultry house now, I'll say, okay, I'll advise you. Don't neglect the engineer, so I'll still bring an engineer and say, somebody wants to do this. I'll tell them, no, for a poultry house, this is how it should be. Because the best engineer will not know how to build a poultry house. Because we have our recommendations in vet medicine on how this and this the height and all of that. So that is where I've moved to even now. So I won't say because I started selling bread or because I became a vet doctor, then I'll pause at that level. But you see that God keeps, and all of this, it is not for yourself. You'd be a fool to think that all that God has said that He will do to you is for yourself. And what people tag, the business people tag sudden wealth syndrome will come upon your life and it will make you frustrated because God has blessed you. But if you don't understand, if you are not faithful, none that you don't have. And that is why Paul said, for him, he has learned this basis that even when he has so little, he's content. If you are not content now, even when God blesses you, you will be content. You'll find it very difficult to give. You'll find it very difficult to support His work. So, God's blessings are not things that we should even sit and be talking over. Well, He has already said it. What do you want God to do again? It's just for us to key into all that He has said. And we'll see ourselves where God wants us to be. I know of a lady who graduated from the university. What she read in the university, she has even forgotten about it. She said, Solomon, I want to learn how to sew. And that's how she keyed into it. As I'm telling you now, learning how to sew in her place, the women will agree with learning how to sew. The fashion designing she's doing now, for you to be part of the training is 100,000. And me, as far back as I knew, tailoring training was 10,000-20,000. But her own. And if she sews for you, you see that when she sews for a sister, the other sister will come and say, please, I want you to take me to this place so that I can also learn. If I'm right, there are even some sisters here who are part of that training. Because I know about one sister that went to that training, that the husband paid and she went for that training. And I see that she's doing good things, even she that partook in the training. And this lady has, it's not just about the course she read in university. She felt, this is where, and that's why they talk about the children of Issachar. They understood. Now, the only thing the world says, it is not just necessary what you read in the university. It's not even necessary when you, whether you go to school. I'm not saying school is not good, but you see our brothers who are around, the Igbo guys and the Igbo women. They don't go to school the way we go, but they are the one controlling the economy. For us in Benue, it's even worse. They are the one controlling everything. So, God did not call you to be a mediocre. God did not call you to come and be a servant to men. I'm not, when I say that, I don't mean that don't go and lean on another someone. What I mean is that don't be like the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. And what we are doing as believers or Christians is just what the Israelites were doing. Even when God wanted to pull them out of poverty, pull them out of bondage, they didn't like it. And they were lamenting. And that's where we are lamenting till now. We are refusing to be pulled out from Egypt. We want to remain in Egypt and continue to be slaves to men. God has called us to be servants to Him, not slaves to men. And you can only do that when that in which He has placed in your hands, you are using it for His glory. And you see Him expanding you. And then you see Him giving opportunities. That's why I said, I won't come here, I won't come and list this, that, and that. But as you relate, as you dine, as you talk with the Lord, and the Bible tells us that any man who draws closer to God, God will also do what? And how can you claim that you are drawing closer to God, and God is also drawing closer to you, and you are in your situation? Have you seen a man that God has drawn close to, or he's drawing closer to God, and God has also drawn close to, that is frustrated the way we are frustrated? Let's see. Let's look through the scriptures. Have you seen any man in the scriptures who drew close to God and draw? God was also working with such a man, and the person was frustrated as you are. That you are claiming that you are a child of God.
Pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Our Father and God, we thank you for how you opened your truth to us, even this afternoon, this business talk. Thank you for your revelations. Thank you for your instructions. We are pleading with you that let the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our instructor, who is our director, who is our all in all, let Him wake us up. Let Him wake our spirits. Let Him instruct our minds. That we will not remain in Egypt as we have remained all these years. That from this talk and from this camp, we will be different verses. We will be your real children. We will be true Israelites who you have instructed us that if we know the truth, it will set us free from the cares of this life, from the things of this world, and set us free and take us to where we should be. And you say, when you bless us as entrepreneurs, as business people, as education people, as researchers, this all that all glory should go back to you and for the cause of the kingdom. As we've seen in the scriptures, the man that you bless, Bezalel, he said you bless him with artwork. And all of this was to the glory of God. And all that we've seen, that you bless men who were in this, who will go through the scriptures and see that they were doing this and that, it was all for your glory. So Lord, open our eyes that we may see that in all that you are discussing and sharing with us this morning, it is that when our eyes are opened and when we engage ourselves in one trade or in one business or in one form of education or the other, it is that we will give glory and honor to your name. For those who engage themselves in academics, let them just stop at their first degree. Let them go up to master level, go to PhD, do their postdoc, and even become professors. So that at the end of the day, it will be to bring glory and honor for your name. For those who are going into one form of trade or the other, let them continue in the literatures and in those businesses so that at the end of the day, they will be masters and you have mastery in these areas, that they will also bring and mentor other men
who has worked in, who are well your servants in the kingdom. What tells us that? If let us do good to all men. But there's a clause there that says, especially to those who are the household of faith. So even as we become successful and do certain things in this life, Lord, we are praying for those who are our household of faith, who are believers, let us consider them more. Let us inspire them more. Let us mentor them more. Let us support them more. That we will not just be an island of success, but we'll have, even after we have lived the scene, we'll see pockets and pockets and masses of your own children who are walking in the path of success and who are making us proud and making the host of heaven proud. That at the end of the day, when we stand before you, there'll be rejoicing and gladness in among the saints. For the remaining part of this camp, and today, Lord, we pray that you continue to also instruct us in those different segments. Come and have your way in our lives. For the vessel you have used, Lord, continue to humble me unto your glory. Continue to reveal yourself to me that the only day all of this will not be for self-glorification, but it will be to bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for answering us. Thank you for answering me in this hour. For in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.